So today is the Divine Disappearance Day of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, one of the foremost writers in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we'll begin by reading Bhagavatam, and then we'll go on to Chaitanya, and we'll go on to speak a little bit about Vrindavan Das Thakur. Canto 2, Chapter 5, chapters entitled The Cause of All Causes, text number 21. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kalam Karma Swabhavam Cha. Mayeso Mayaya Swaya. Atmayadrichchaya praptam viburbo sur upadade. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Lord, who is the controller of all the energies, thus creates by His own potency eternal time, the fate of the living entities, and their particular nature for which they were created. And He again merges them independently. Four. The creation of the material world, wherein the conditioned souls are allowed to act subordinately by the Supreme Lord, takes place again and again after being repeatedly annihilated. The material creation is something like a cloud in the unlimited sky. The real sky is the spiritual sky, eternally filled with the rays of the Brahma-jyoti. And a portion of this unlimited sky is covered by the Mahatattva cloud of the material creation, in which the conditioned souls, who want to lord it over against the will of the Lord, are put into play as they desire under the control of the Lord by the agency of His external energy. As the rainy season appears and disappears regularly, the creation takes place and is again annihilated under the control of the Lord, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 8:19. So the creation and annihilation of the material world is a regular action of the Lord, which has allowed the conditioned souls to play as they like and thereby create their own fate of being differently created again in terms of their independent desires at the time of annihilation. The creation therefore takes place as a historical date, as we are accustomed to think of everything which is as a beginning in our tiny experience. The process of creation and annihilation is called anadi, or without reference to date regarding the time the creation took place, because the duration of even a partial creation is 6,640,000,000 years. The law of creation is, however, as mentioned in the Vedic literatures, that is created at a certain intervals and again annihilated by the will of the Lord. The whole material, even the spiritual creation, is a manifestation of the energy of the Lord. Just as the light and heat of a fire are different manifestations of the fire's energy, the Lord therefore exists in His impersonal form by such expansions of energy, and the complete creation rests on His impersonal feature. Nonetheless, He keeps Himself distinct from such creation as the Purnam, or complete. And so, no one should wrongly think that His personal feature is not existence due to His impersonal unlimited expansions. The impersonal expansion of a manifestation of His energy, the impersonal expansion is a manifestation of His energy, and He is always in His personal feature despite His innumerable unlimited expansions of impersonal energies. This is from Bhagavad Gita 9-5-7. For human intelligence, it is very difficult to conceive how the whole creation rests on His expansion of energy. But the Lord has given a very good example in the Bhagavad Gita. It is said that although the air and the atoms rest within the huge expansion of space, which is like the resting reservoir of everything materially created, still the sky remains separate and unaffected. Similarly, although the Supreme Lord maintains everything created by His expansions of energy, He always remains separate. This is accepted even by Shankaracharya, the great advocate of the impersonal form of the Absolute. He says, Narayanam paro vyaktat, or Narayan exists separately apart from His impersonal creative energy. The whole creation thus merged within the body of the transcendental Narayan. At the time of annihilation, and the creation emanates from His body again in the same changing categories of fate and individual natures. The individual living entities, being part and parcels of the Supreme Lord, are sometimes described as Atma, qualitatively one in spiritual constitution. But because such living entities are apt to be attracted by the material creation, actively and subjectively, they are therefore different from the Lord. This is the machine that Krishna has set in motion, known as the material energy, which keeps the living entity bound up by their desires. Desire is the shackles of this material world. As long as the living entity has material desires, one is forced by those desires to take birth, life after life. And here, we're not only speaking about life after life, but we're speaking about manifestation after manifestation, which is, as explained here, 8,640,000,000 years is a partial creation of this material energy. So after 8,460,000,000 years, there is a devastation. That is at the end of the, what we say, the four yugas, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Kali Yuga. After those four yugas combined together, of course, that is 4 billion, but that is 320. That is one day of Brahma. So if you take one day and one night, so two of those yuga cycles gives you 8 billion. So at the end of that 8 billion years, the whole material creation is destroyed, up to the higher planets. The higher planets, such as Mahaloka, Maharloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka, and all the way up to Brahmaloka, Satyaloka, Brahmaloka, they remain. But the lower planets and even the lower heavenly planets are also destroyed in this annihilation. So this material world is not permanent, even by what we say, any sense of the word, in the sense that the interims are always happening, life after life after life. And therefore, the living entity is stuck. What is the living entity as stuck? The living entity is stuck by desire. Desire captures the conditioned soul and forces them to take birth and to act according to those desires. Prabhupada says, material world means Maitunya Agra. Maitunya Agra. So what is Maitunya? Maitunya means sex. And Agra means shackles. So just like a person will go to prison, and in prison they're locked up by bars or maybe even chains or various guards. So one is not free to move about and to express their desires. One is very restricted due to the prison atmosphere. So, what is the locking process? Bars, chains. But here, this material world is also like a jail. It's a prison. And what is the locking process desire? And what is the adi desire? Sex life. Or desire to enjoy the opposite sex. Like that. That is the foundation of all material desires. One who breaks that desire breaks all desires. That is the root cause of all attachments in this material world. The desire to enjoy sex life. What is that? We call it lust. But where is that lust coming from? It is part of the living entity's natural constitutional nature to love God. The adiras, or the original lust, is actually directed towards Krishna. The living beings in the spiritual world, they have what is called this desire to serve Krishna and to love Krishna. And when that desire is diverted away from Krishna, it becomes lust. And that lust keeps one bound up in this material world, life after life after life after life. So, how to as Bhakti Tirtha Swami wrote this book, how to transform lust into love. Spiritual Warrior 2, he wrote that book. How to transform love. Or how to transform lust back into love. We're going back. We're not going forward. We're going backward. We're returning to our natural position of loving Krishna in pure, unalloyed devotion. And that is the position of the living entity in its natural state. But here, as long as the living entity still has desires to enjoy this material world, then one has to rotate in the cycle of birth and death. Mitchi Mayra Bese Hakachu Havu Bububai Jeev Krishna Dase Vishwa Kolina Adukanai. That this material world is what they call dukkha. Krishna says it's miserable. But one cannot get out of it. Just like one cannot get out of prison by their own. Sometimes people escape from prison, right? Happens, right? Sometimes. Even in Alcatraz, one of the most difficult prisons to escape from, it's in the middle of the ocean practically, surrounded by gates and guards and barbed wire, and the waters are infested with sharks, and still people get out. Still they get out of that place. There have been many people who escaped from Alcatraz. They say it's the most difficult prison to ever get out of. But still, people, if you have a desire, you can do it. And you're determined. But in this material world, you can't get out on your own. Even if you're the most intelligent and the most sophisticated and have all the money in the world and all the influence, still you can't get out. You have to be let out. You have to be let out. And the only one who can let you out is the spiritual master. The spiritual master is the gatekeeper. And if he's pleased, he opens the gate. He opens the gate. But we have to stay life after life in this material. And so therefore, the living entities are rotating life after life. Here it's explained that this material energy is like a big cloud that covers the spiritual sky. The spiritual sky is unlimited. And in the spiritual sky there are innumerable planets. But in one corner of that spiritual sky, there is what is called material energy. And that material energy is Krishna's energy. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Daivi Esha Gunamayi Mamamaya Daratyaya Mam Eva Ye Papadyante Maya Aitam Tarantite. One cannot get out of my Daivi energy only when one takes shelter of me in devotional service and Krishna removes that. Therefore, one has to take full shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So why does Krishna create this material world? Is there any purpose in creation? Sometimes people ask that question. Why does Krishna create this material world? Sometimes we say he creates everything for his own enjoyment. And that's a fact also. But really, Krishna has no business creating the material world for his own enjoyment. He creates it for the fulfillment of the living entities. That's mentioned here. The living entities, what does it say here? So the creation and annihilation of the material world is the regular action of the Lord, just to allow the conditioned souls to play as they like and thereby create their own fate of being differently created again in terms of their independent desires at the time of annihilation. So Krishna facilitates the desire of the living entity by creating this material world. But he creates it in such a way that one is stuck, one is suffering, and one cannot enjoy creation. One time, one girl, this is a very interesting discussion with Prabhupada. One girl said, Prabhupada's talking about how Krishna is all good, and everything he does is good. So, and he's perfect. But he creates this material world which entraps the living entities in suffering. So, and therefore the question was, if Krishna is all good, and he creates this material energy for the living entities, how come this material energy is one sense is bad, and it's suffering? How can something good or bad come from something good? So what would you say to that? If Krishna is all good, Krishna is all perfect, how can he create this material energy which causes a living entity so much suffering? Why does he do that? How does that fit in with Krishna's nature of being all good? So Prabhupada answered the question. He said, you are a very nice young girl, but you pass stool, don't you? And she was baffled. She didn't know what to say. She was embarrassed. Prabhupada said, you are a nice girl, but you pass stool. So therefore, the stool is not nice, but you are nice. So she didn't know what to say. Prabhupada kept saying, isn't this correct? Yes, yes, yes. And he was kind of like encourage her to respond. And she was getting all flustered, you know. So finally Prabhupada said, well, Krishna's good, but still he creates this material energy. It's like Krishna's stool or something, you know? Which is still coming from Krishna, but it works in a different way. This is Prabhupada's answer. So if you don't like the answer, just check with Prabhupada. Anyway, this is what Prabhupada said. Anyway, so he was trying to make a point that this material energy is perfect, but it works in a certain way to cause suffering and misery. And the more the living entity tries to enjoy it, the more they get entangled in it. Isn't that interesting? The more you try to enjoy this energy, the more you get entangled in the energy. Or the more you get controlled by the energy you try to enjoy. So one cannot get out. And one is forced, life after life, to take birth in this material creation and suffer and enjoy. So what does one do? One has to take the devotional service. That's all. When one takes the devotional service, one begins the process of getting out. And where does the process of devotional service begin? When one takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada said this is the beginning of spiritual life. When he used to give his initiation lectures, he would say, the initiation means beginning. Before you're practicing, now you're actually beginning the process. So when one takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and works under the direction of the spiritual master, one begins the process of removing themselves from the material energy. And one starts to, what we say, take desire and transform it. Desires are the things that keeps us locked here, but we can't get rid of desire. There's a class of spiritualists, they think that simply by stopping desire, you can stop suffering. Yes, You can stop suffering by stopping material desire. But desire cannot be eradicated. There must be what is called real desire, or those desires that are constitutionally part of the living being's nature, or spiritual desires. So one has to take to regular devotional service in order to awaken one's spiritual desire, transforming lust into love. So that is the process. And it's like a osmosis. It's like a silkworm becoming a butterfly. It's like bell metal becoming gold. Prabhupada used that example. How to make gold. This is a process. You can make gold if you know how to make gold. You can actually do it, but it's not easy. He says you take bell metal and you mix it with mercury under a certain temperature, and you can make gold. But he says it's very difficult to work with mercury. Therefore, he says yogis, they do that. They take a metal coin, and then the night before, they eat mercury. And then they pass urine on the coin, and it becomes gold. Isn't that amazing? Yogis can do that. But one devotee said to Prabhupada, so let's make gold. Prabhupada said, go ahead and eat mercury, see what happens. Mercury is poisonous, highly poisonous, highly toxic. But the yogis know how to do it. Some yogis, not today's yogis. They can actually do that. So the spiritual master, as Srila Prabhupada once said, Prabhupada was giving a lecture in New York, and someone asked, Swamiji, can you show some miracles? Because, you know, people approach saintly persons. They want miracles, and they want something, you know, fantastic. Show some magic. So Prabhupada pointed it to his disciples. He said, these are my miracles. They were, you know, drug addicts, sex mongers, alcoholics, so many bad things. Now they're chanting Hare Krishna. Now I've changed hippies into happies. Prabhupada said. This is amazing. I mean, people, there are yogis who can do tremendous feats. Just like, let me think. This one yogi in South India, he can produce whatever you want. Gold, rasgullas, something. He has the power of Prapti Siddhi. He can make things appear in his hand simply by, because he knows the art of the siddhi, the power. Prabhupada says there's yogis who can, you know, they can go into keyholes, go through keyholes and go out one keyhole into another area. That's good if you're in jail, huh? You can get out of jail, escape through the keyhole. When I write some of the inmates, one time I wrote, why don't you learn this art? You can get out, you know, go out through the keyhole. But who can do that these days? It's very difficult. But Prabhupada says these things are not so great. But to take someone who is addicted to all sinful activities and make them the devotee of the Lord is a great achievement. It's a tremendous achievement. Tremendous achievement. To transform the heart and life of a person. And this was Srila Prabhupada, and of course, he's transferred that power to those who accepted his full mercy to do the same thing to the others today. So that is the real transformation, to change one into a lover of Krishna. And that's not easy, because no one wants to give up material desires. No one wants to give up the things that they think will make them happy. The conditioned soul is in the illusion that I know what's good for me. That's the problem. Everyone thinks I know what's good for me. If you want to make spiritual advancement, forget about everything. Forget about everything and just take up the orders of the spiritual master wholeheartedly. All your conceptions or misconceptions or calculations or intelligence are all useless. Practically useless. by just surrendering to the process of devotional service and applying your intelligence how best to execute the instructions of the spiritual master accordingly, one will make, what we say, tangible and very fast advancement. But as long as the living entity remains locked up in their own conceptions of what's good for me, one cannot surrender to Krishna. And therefore, one cannot get the mercy of Krishna fully. So one has to give up that. It's very difficult because the conditioned soul is what is called conditioned. And conditioned means a certain mentality that develops by way of one's association with the material energy. Just like we have, even within our conditioned nature, we have a secondary conditioned nature. Our conditioning is so bad or so deep that we have a secondary conditioned nature that's so subtle that one cannot even perceive what is that. The way we do things, or the way we think, or the habits we have developed, are all part of our conditioned nature. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a spiritual scientist. He talks about the intricacies of one's subtle nature in the material world, such as idiosyncrasies or habits, or just ways of thinking that is diametrically opposed to spiritual growth. That's the way we think sometimes, the way we calculate things. So therefore, in order to become Krishna conscious, basically, as Prabhupada used to tell us when he was telling his preachers, he said, you go out and preach, and you preach to these very intelligent people. And you say, my dear sir, you are very intelligent. You have so many good qualities. You are very educated. And you're very special. And then when they start listening, then you say, but my dear Lord, dear sir, I have one request. And what is that? Just forget everything. And just take up this process of devotional service. That's all. Just forget all of this nonsense that you think you know. Especially today. Today has become so complicated in today's sophisticated world with computers and technology that a living entity, average living entity, is jammed with useless information. Jammed with so much junk in their brain that they can't even, they're all junkies. They can't even think clearly or logically or rationally, even because they got so much information. In today's society, 95% of the things we have in this world are considered to be non-essential. That means 95% of the things that are available in the world today are not necessary. 5% are necessary. What are the necessary things? Food, that's necessary. Clothing, that's necessary. Medical care, that's necessary. And some social and economic arrangements to facilitate one's life in this world. These are necessities. But beyond that, in the terms of the material, everything else is useless. If there were no cars, and if there were no computers, and if there were no airplanes, could you become happy? Some people would think, oh my God, no cars, no computers, no airplanes, no television, no happiness is gone. What am I going to do? What will I do? How will I travel? How will I, you know, one becomes so conditioned by the amenities that arise by the complicated material energy that one becomes so attached to these things that they govern their life around them. And if something changes, they actually can't function. Just like, can you live without money? Yeah. You don't need any money. Money is just paper. That's all it is. Prabhupada says, can you eat your nuts and bolts? No, you can't eat nuts and bolts. You need food. anan bhavanti bhutani parjanyani anasambhava. That one has to produce food grains. This is the basis for human society. That's necessary. Not machines and cars and so many other things. What are these things doing? They're just, when we say, sapping the human energy away from their goal of life. So much diversion in this area. It's like in 1929 in America. There was a Great Depression. And the stock market crashed. That means the economic situation took a tremendous plunge. And what happened? What did people do? Many of them committed suicide. Can't live without money. They were jumping out of windows. Yeah, it was famous. You can even see films today, people jumping out of windows. They were filming it because so many people were doing it. no money. What am I going to do? Money? Money may have some use, but it's, you can live without money. They say, if you lose your wealth, you lose nothing. You lose your health, you lose something. You lose your Krishna consciousness, you lose everything. So, we see what is really valuable in life. But the question is, as devotees, we know that. But we have to be reminded. Because if we're not reminded, we will become lax in our spiritual practice. We will become routine in our spiritual practice. We will somehow or other just go through the motions and not understanding the value of what we have and how to really use it. Therefore, Lord, we have to be enthusiastic to hear, to chant, to serve, to associate, to engage in devotional service. There has to be that enthusiasm. Without enthusiasm, Prabhupada says you're dead. You're dead. If you don't have enthusiasm for devotional service, then you practically can't do anything. So sometimes we're enthusiastic for service, but we're not so enthusiastic to chant or enthusiastic to read, but we're not so enthusiastic to associate with devotees or enthusiastic to take prasadam, but we're not so enthusiastic, to do our service. So that enthusiasm is what we call based on what we like and don't like. What we like and don't like. Sometimes, or what's easy and what's not easy. But what you should see in your devotional service, if something is difficult, then you should think, this is good. Because this difficulty gives me a chance to show, to make advancement. If it's difficult to associate with devotees, do it. You'll make advancement. If it's difficult to chant, do it. You'll make advancement. If it's difficult to read, do it. Those things that are foundational in our spiritual life, if they're difficult, then you know these are the things that will be the best thing for you. Things that are easy may also be very good, but at the same time, we may not really, we may not really understand the value of them either, and we just go along. So, one should not be afraid of difficulties. Sometimes people write me letters. It's too difficult for me to do this, Maharaj. And that's good. If it's difficult, it's nice. And our difficulties come according to who we are. For some people, they love to chant, but they have a hard time associating with devotees. And some people, they love to read, and they love to chant, and they love to do their service. But they can't associate with devotees too well. Or there's some people who love to associate with devotees, but it comes to chanting, they're just not into it. But the process is all these things. Therefore, Prabhupada said, one has to, when we say, become determined to practice the process. And when Prabhupada was giving a lecture in in New Vrindavan in 1976, and he was talking about determination. He said, and someone asked him, Srila Prabhupada, what happens if we have no determination? Prabhupada says, then you're an animal. So it's not good to be an animal. It's good to be a devotee. Devotee is not only better than an animal, he's better than a human being too. He's the topmost of all human beings. Therefore, there's nothing too difficult for a devotee if he knows the value of something. We have to know what is the value of something. Krishna consciousness is very valuable. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift by the spiritual master. The spiritual master is given that gift. And by that gift, express, our ultimate, desire to serve Krishna. That gift. But if you don't know the value of something, you don't take it seriously. Just like sometimes Prabhupada said, don't give my books away. Why are you giving books away? People don't buy the books. Then they won't read them. You give it to them, they put it on their shelf. You have to pay for it. Then they read. Yeah, when they pay their money, then they think, oh, I paid something. Let me read. This is good. Appreciate it. We give books away and people just look at them. Oh, it's like anything else, they get free. So many things, right? People on the streets are giving things away, No, they should pay for these books. That way they'll appreciate it. They'll read it. Or if you do give them away, make sure you guarantee 100% before you give it to them that they'll read it. All right, you don't have any money. You want the book. Okay. But therefore, we'll make an exception. But make sure you read it. That's the only thing we ask. Something is given cheaply, one doesn't understand the value of it. There's one story. One man, he finds gold. Gold. Listen to this story. Very good story. He finds gold. So he takes it and he goes into the woods. He digs a hole, puts the gold on the ground, covers it up. And every day he comes, same time, to the woods and he digs it up and he looks in it and he picks it up. Oh, gold, so nice. I'm so rich. I got so much gold. He's like people today. Sometimes every other day they check their bank balance in the bank. How much I have. So many zeros. Oh, it's getting bigger. Nice, right? They like to look at their bank balance. Makes them feel good, right? Right, Sunil? People do that? Yeah. Does it make you feel good or bad? If you're looking at it, it makes you feel bad. I don't know. It's not good. Well, some people just look at it because it makes them feel good. If you have a reason, then that's different. So this one man, he kept going and looking at his gold every day. And one day, one man, he just was watching this other man. So he followed them into the woods, and he hid behind a tree. And he saw this man, he was digging up his gold. He picked it up, and he's looking at it, and the other man says, oh, he's got some gold. So that when he left, that man came and dug it up, and he took the gold and he put a rock in its place. He left. So the next day, when the man came to dig up his gold and look at it, he opened up and where's my gold? It's gone! It's gone! Somebody stole my gold! Ah! And he was crying. So many things. And one sage, holy man, he was in the forest. He was noticing also. He came, he said, what's the problem? You don't have to do anything different. You just come every day. You just dig the hole and you look at the rock. You put it back down and you cover it up again and then you go away. What's the difference? Right? Point is, he had something valuable, but he didn't know what to do with it. Just looking at it. Right? Something is valuable. You have to use it. Right? And what is the most valuable thing? Time. Time. Time is tick, 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 tick. Our lives are getting shorting. With the rising and the setting of the sun, another day is lost, and one is closer to death. Except for one who engages in hearing the glories of the all-good personality of Godhead. This is a verse from Bhagavatam. So time is the most important thing. And one of the biggest problems of the conditioned soul is procrastination. Procrastination. Tomorrow I'll become Krishna conscious. Not today. Tomorrow I'll start becoming serious. Not today. Tomorrow I'll chant my rounds carefully. Not today. It's always tomorrow, right? Tomorrow. Or when the situation gets better. Then, when everything is nice, when I find that perfect, nice situation, then I can become Krishna conscious. But guess what? It never comes. Because the situation is always according to Krishna's arrangement, not to your arrangement. And Krishna arranges us to surrender and not look for the ideal situation. So wherever you are, you have to surrender. That's the point. One has to surrender to the situation. Not think, if the situation was better, then I would be more Krishna conscious. Don't worry about that. The situation can be better, but don't worry about that. If you depend on your situation, then you become what we say, oriented towards the external. And when the external changes, then your Krishna consciousness becomes affected. So therefore one has to surrender and see that right now is the best time for Krishna consciousness. Right this moment. Not later, not tomorrow, not yesterday, not during prasadam. Now. Right now, every moment is the ideal moment to become Krishna conscious. Because as they say, the present takes care of the future. As you do it in the present, the future is affected. But if you think in the future, then it's always in the future. What does Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains? He says, forget the past that sleeps, ne'er the future dream at all, act in times that are with thee in progress ye shall call. So he says the past is a dream, the past is gone, the future is only a dream. The present is the only reality. Really, that's all. It's always the present. It's never the past or the future, right? You can't live in the future. And the past is gone. You can learn from the past. That you can do. You can learn from the past, but you can't live in the past, and you can't live in the future. So wherever you are, whatever the situation is, that's the best time to become Krishna conscious. And if we can always remember that, then you'll see that within that consciousness, so many opportunities awaken. Simply by having that proper consciousness, Krishna will make the environment in such a way that you'll see so many opportunities for your spiritual advancement and so many opportunities actually to serve in so many ways. It becomes unlimited and you become overwhelmed with happiness because you're all of a sudden, you don't see the external energy as it's played, but you see Krishna's hand in making this external energy simply perfect for your surrender and for your progress. Like that. That's Krishna consciousness. It's all a matter of consciousness. So, take advantage of time. Time is very valuable. Chanaka Pandit says, one moment gone is gone. At that moment, you cannot buy one moment back even for billions of dollars. Therefore, time is the most valuable thing. that we can have time. Right? People can buy anything, but they can't buy time. A person's a billionaire. He can buy anything practically. He can't buy happiness and he can't buy time. Those two things he can't buy. So, therefore, as devotees, and what is the best use of our time? To hear and chant the glories of the Lord. This is it. Prabhupada said, sit down, chant 16 rounds. Don't move. Try that. Every day, just chant 16 rounds straight. Don't do anything else. After 1 week, you'll understand what Krishna consciousness is. You'll see the whole thing completely different. I guarantee you. Why? Because the only problem we have is our minds. The mind is always stopping us from becoming Krishna conscious. Mind's always parking on the side of the road to take a break, right? So keep that mind connected to the spiritual energy by always meditating on the instructions of the spiritual master and keeping oneself focused in devotional service. And forget about the external environment. Just surrender. Surrender to the holy name. Surrender to the process of devotional service. The more we surrender, the more we actually become free. Freedom means surrender. It's like the opposite definition of freedom, right? If you surrender, it sounds like you're giving up. You're cashing in your independence. But actually, no, it's the opposite. When you surrender to the spiritual master or to Krishna, you're actually becoming free. This is the real freedom. Okay, so I'll stop here. Any questions? Comments? Yes, Gorky Sharprabhu. She asked, Prabhupada's talking that material energy is coming from Krishna. Everything's coming from Krishna, and Krishna is all good. Krishna is all good. But material energy is working in such a way that it causes suffering. It causes suffering. So suffering is considered to be something nobody wants. So it apparently is considered, so from one point of view, Prabhupada's saying, one point of view, this material energy is not good. Why? Because it just beats you, captures you and beats you. It's like a taskmaster. It's like a bad boss or a jailkeeper. He captures you, puts you in jail, and then he punishes you. So material energy is like that, exactly. So Prabhupada was speaking about the material energy in that way. But then at the same time he was speaking that Krishna is all good. Right. But that's for those who have transcendental consciousness. They see. Prahlad Maharaj says, I see the whole world as being happy. Prahlad Maharaj sees everything as being, he's happy. He sees the world as happy. He sees everything in as happy. Why? Because he's seen Krishna in everything, and everything is Krishna. So for a devotee, or even a devotee on a lower level, who sees the material energy in terms of its relationship to Krishna, then they're not suffering. There's no suffering for a devotee. Prabhupada said, even if you think there is suffering, he said, tolerate it. But there's no suffering. Not for a devotee. Because a devotee doesn't try to enjoy the material energy. There's where the suffering comes, when we try to enjoy the material energy. The devotee sees the material energy as Krishna's energy. Mama Maya. Krishna says, it's my energy. So what does he do? He uses the material energy in the service of the Supreme Lord. Anana Shakta Visayam. Yaryatam Upayunjite Nirbande Krishna Sambandi Yukta Vairagya Uchjite. That real renunciation means to use everything in the service of the Lord. Prabhupada was expert at that. He could take whatever he came in contact with it and somehow connect it to Krishna. Even praise, just like when someone praises you, can you take that praise and dovetail it? That's hard. Someone talks about how nice you are or praise you. You have a tendency to accept it. But then accepting it, that means you're still affected by a certain type of material desire. But a devotee says, oh, I'm being praised. Well, actually, thank you very much, but, you know, none of it belongs to me. It all belongs to my spiritual master. It belongs to the Lord. So the art of taking anything and everything, even the subtle things, and connecting it to Krishna is, you know, the position of happiness. When you don't want anything, then you're happy. As soon as you want something, you can't be happy. As soon as you want anything for yourself, if you want something for Krishna and Krishna's service, then that's not material. Just like we want to organize a nice temple here, so we have to work so hard to do it. We have to keep it clean. We have to make sure that the programs go on. So there's some work to do that. And sometimes there's anxiety that is connected with that. So is that anxiety for me? No, it's spiritual. Just like, you know, you have to run the gift shop. So you have to make sure that things are going on nicely and you use your intelligence to make it better. So many things. So the anxiety that may come with your service is spiritual. Because it's not for you, it's for certain. But if you want it for yourself, then it's material. If you want it for Krishna, then it's spiritual. So, yes, one can see the whole world is happy. One can see the smile of Maya, Maya's smile. Who is it? Bilva Mangala Thakur says, now that I'm fully engaged in devotional service, mukti and bhakti, they're knocking at my door, and with folded hands, and saying, how can we serve you? So mukti and bhakti are features of the material energy. How can I serve you? Because you have surrendered to Krishna, even the material energy becomes your servant. So Maya is smiling, yes. But for one who wants to enjoy Maya, Maya is kicking. Take that, poof. As soon as you try to enjoy Maya. Just like, what is it? You ever see donkeys? You ever see a donkey? In India, there's many donkeys. You go to India, you see donkeys. And they're stupid. They're not very intelligent animals, right? So when a male donkey wants to have sex with the she donkey, he goes up to him. He's walking up to him. And what does she do to him? As soon as he gets close, he kicks him in the face. He gets stunned, you know. But he goes back for more. And he kicks him again in the face. This goes on for some time. Finally, she surrenders. She kicks him in the face so many times, you know. The guy is just beaten down. So this is this is sex life. Like getting kicked in the face, you know. So the Prabhupada Krishna makes all these arrangements through the material energy to show you what material life is like, you know. So as soon as you try to enjoy Maya, you get kicked. You get kicked, right? Who has the most problems in the world? People that are most, you know, most engaged in material life. The more you are engaged in material life, the more problems you have. Those who try to enjoy material life, right? No, that's the problem. So Maya is smiling when you want Krishna. When you want Krishna, then she smiles. Oh, yes. Now you've understood my job. My job is to teach you to come to Krishna. So therefore she's happy because you've surrendered to Krishna. But as long as you still want material energy, you can expect that this material world is a very fearful place. People are afraid. Why? They're afraid of, they can't enjoy. They're fearful of not enjoying. They're fearful of losing some facility that they have for their enjoyment, right? And time is taking their life away. They're full of fear, right? You see, every day, people are fearful. Afraid of this, afraid of that, afraid of this, afraid of that. Everyone's afraid. Can't even go out of the house. People are afraid. Fear means too much absorption in the material energy. One becomes fearful. You know, you make an appointment with somebody. And you say, what time should I come? You tell me. It's your time, not my time. So Krishna's time, Krishna, in the spiritual world, there is no material time. There's spiritual time. But it works differently. What does material time do? Material time begins and ends within time, and things are measured by time. But in the spiritual world, there's no beginning and no end, so there's no material time. But in the spiritual world, there's Krishna's Astakala Lila, where Krishna performs different activities throughout the day at a certain times. Krishna wakes up at a certain time, he herds the cows at a certain time, he's with Radharani at a certain time, he's with Mother Yasoda at a certain time of the day. So Astakala Lila is eight aspects of Krishna's pastimes. But that's spiritual. That time enhances, that's under the care of Yogamaya. That enhances the ras, the juice, the pastimes. Material time means what happens, everything is taken away. So Krishna descends according to what is called the universal clock. It's just like the watchmaker. He makes the watch, but he's not controlled by the watch. He makes it. So Krishna makes the element of time, but he's not controlled by time. He's aloof from time.